The traditional tale of Frankenstein is usually fairly straightforward. It involves the mad Dr. Frankenstein in his attempt to create life. And what he does is he roams throughout the area, the region, looking for various body parts that he can find in various places, and he collects those body parts, and he brings them back to his laboratory, where he gets Igor to sew them together for him. And having sewn together various body parts from various parts of the region, he then attaches them to a table, he plugs it all in, and he waits for a huge burst of energy to come, usually from a passing lightning storm. The lightning strikes, and the cry goes out, "He's alive!" And then the monster begins to venture out. He begins to terrorize the villagers. Ultimately, it's not going to go well. They turn against him with their torches, and they rush against this monster, and he runs back to Dr. Frankenstein's castle, and the villagers pursue him, and invariably, they burn the castle to the ground, and the whole thing ends in disaster. Not too much of a disaster, because you want a sequel, but just enough of a disaster. Now, you're going to struggle to believe this, but sometimes Christian ministers behave like Dr. Frankenstein. We search the world looking for the best body parts, not literally body parts, but parts of the body of Christ. And what we invariably do is we wander across to Chicago and we take that seeker-sensitive service, which Willow Creek does so incredibly well, and we bring that bit back. We wander across to New York, where Bill Wilson has a kids' ministry with 25,000 boys and girls every week, and we take that and we bring it back. We wander across to Rick Warren, him who wrote Purpose Driven Church, and we take that group structure which he has, and we bring it back, and we stitch that together as well, in the hope that we can create that living body of Christ in that place, made up of the best bits that we can gather from all over the world. Ultimately, we give it as much energy as we possibly can. What happens is the villagers are not best pleased with the result, and it all ends in disaster. It's an easy mistake to fall into. The temptation to take an off-the-shelf product, to bring it into Warfield and hope that it will live. It doesn't work. What we have to do, again and again and again, is seek the face of God and say, "God, what are you doing right now, and how can we be involved?" You see the different way around of working. Jeremiah put it this way: "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of life, and they've dug their own cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water." It is an attempt to contain God where God isn't. My people have committed two sins. They've tried to do it themselves without me. And in their attempt to do it without me, the whole thing leaks. Abraham Lincoln said it this way: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown before us. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand who preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our own hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of the redeeming and preserving grace that God brings, too proud to pray to the God that makes us." We said this time last year, "God, if your presence will not go with us, we will not move from this place." We continue to pray that prayer. "God, if you go, we go. But God, if your presence isn't going, we are also not moving from that place. Our utter and complete and total dependency on God must be found in absolutely everything that we do. And so 2013 was the story of God traveling with his people. And in 2013, miracles happened. Let's have a little look. Let's go to the next slide. We took that top one. Whoa, everything went red. And suddenly, hell. Yes. Now I feel as if I'm in New Look. And so we said that we wouldn't. For those listening to this on recording, they are all laughing because Steve Hyde is singing a song at the back whilst juggling and riding a tricycle. We wanted to make our building more suitable for the needs of the 21st century. We commented that when we, just 10 years ago, not far beyond that, Warfield was only a village of 1,000 people. And in the next 10 years, the Warfield Parish will be 35,000 people. We wanted a facility that began to be useful for the needs of the 21st century. And we did it because God was with us, and we did the miracle, and we brought the whole thing in under budget. And so we are saying, thank you, Jesus. Let's go to that next slide. And we said that we were going to run a third person day because we were aware of the fact that we weren't giving enough focus to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not at all helpful. Can we put the lights back on, please? Sorry, I have a slight paranoia. If you can't see the speaker, then you can't actually communicate properly. So we ran a third person day, and over 100 people came along and experienced something of God's Spirit being poured out. And we're going to do that again soon. And we said that we were going to pray that God would send us a new associate minister. And she came. And the effect of having a strong team around me has been incredible. So I smile a lot these days. And the word that some of the wonderful girls in Bulbrook had is God will send you people who will hold up your arms. And so I am able to do more and soar higher because I'm surrounded by great people. And so praise God that Janet listened and that she came and we were smart enough to choose the right candidate. We said that we wanted to run morning and evening services at St. Andrew's, and we'd like to see the movement of the whole of priesthood to become part of the Warfield Parish. On April the 1st, 2014, that whole thing took place, and priesthood became part of the Warfield Parish. More about that later. We said we wanted to run something called CBSI, which is a Friday morning Bible study, so that we could go deeper into the things of God. We didn't just want the 20-minute sermons that we get on Sunday, though we enjoy them. We wanted an opportunity just to dig a little deeper. And I watched the CBSI Facebook page, and you are certainly digging a little deeper, although most of you write, what lesson are we on this week? But other than that particular comment, it's working so incredibly well. But I wanted to show you that other picture. I've left that picture of Liquid Nightclub Windsor up there because I told you that we were going to go do a Christmas party at Liquid. Now we did some carol services in the Admiral Cunningham pub, but it's not quite Liquid Windsor. Next year. Yeah, there we go. But I wanted to leave it there to say this to you. If we are not presenting at least one or two things that don't quite work, we're not trying hard enough. So we are creating a culture in which mistakes are perfectly acceptable, and you are permission is given for you to try things. So we're never ever going to fear mistakes. We will be worried if there are not corrective and constructive and creative responses to those mistakes, because we do that. But we always want to put some stuff up there which is just a little bit beyond us. And listen, at some point, we'll do something at Liquid Nightclub Windsor, primarily because our next door neighbour still owns it. So we will do something in that direction at some point. And that was really exciting. Let's go to the next slide. Yes. A wedding anniversary at Liquid Nightclub Windsor. Yes. Let me just check. Are divorces cheap or expensive? It's not going to work for us, Marianne. And so we said we wanted to launch a range of essential ministries. And All Stars began and sees over 100 boys and girls every Friday night in a facility which is suitable for them. Let's go to the next slide. We said we wanted to appoint a youth pastor. I see Rooster clapping, but they're like YouTube. And so we waited patiently for him to get married. Ruth, and who are you again? Ruth and Matt moved to Warfield, and that's great to see. Let's go to the next one. This is Renew. We said we were going to do another evening service. There have been points over the last 6 months where we've seen more than 100 people in Warfield evening services. That is cause to rejoice. Let's go to the next one. Our numbers continue to grow. Our congregations are growing. We have to get a little bit excited, but by 91 new members joining the electoral roll, that's going to be a little bit exciting. But we just see that continuous growth as we seek God and we allow Him to bless us. Let's go to the next one. The blessing is not just for us. I genuinely think that we are a church that is called to affect the world. We're a local church that has the capacity to change nations. Therefore, we should change nations. That's not just by sending our money, although that's a great lump of money. And we continue to give 10% of our unrestricted giving, and we give it away to missions. So we'll continue to do that. But we don't just want to give away money. We want to send some people to bless parts of the world. David and I, last October, went across to Finland and ministered there. It was really cold in Finland. So a few months ago, David went by himself back to Finland and ministered there. And Hannah's going soon. We're going to send Hannah out to do some stuff across there. We're also sending Hannah to do some stuff with the guys that we support working in Vancouver with particularly rough types down there. So she's going across to do that. So we want to send money, but we also want to send people. We want to bless. And now if you begin to talk to the developing world and you say, well, what's your greatest need? It isn't the money part. They say, send us some Bible teachers. Send us some people who can open God's word to us. And so Warfield, we will be a local church that changes nations. It's been a good year. Joey's going to talk to us in a second. Let me just introduce her this way. We had some discussions when Ian stepped down. And we said, is it even right to keep asking volunteers to come and try and manage the sort of sums of money that Warfield's now dealing with? And we did some research. We asked our friends at East Hampstead Baptist. We said, what do you do? Their income is slightly below ours. They said they employ people to do the job. And then we asked our friends at Kerith, and theirs is slightly above ours. And we said, how do you do it? Will they employ three people to do the job? I did ask whether one of their three could do ours as well, but apparently that doesn't work that way. And Simon down at Cairns made the interesting observation. We started to employ people to do it when we realised we were killing people by asking them to do it. So after Ian, we said, let's do this differently. And so we let's do this differently because not all wives are as forgiving as Janine. And so we said, okay, let's make an employed member our treasurer. So Michelle's been fulfilling that role and doing an incredible job. But let's support her and bring a whole finance committee around her. And that's the role that Joey's been taking in support. And so she's been doing that, and that's worked incredibly well for us. And APCM, that's the route that I advocate for us moving forward. And hopefully there are no objections to doing that. We cannot appoint volunteers to look after the sums of money that we're talking about. It just is not reasonable to ask a person to do that. So we're going to try and move into that slightly different way of working. So the finance committee will take shape and form. And just as a prelude to how wonderful that's all going to be, Joey is going to present to us the state of Warfield finances. Go to the microphone.
Yeah.
Steve will put it on for you.
Is this on? Yeah. Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Joey Harmon, as Mark said, and I'm part of the congregation at St. Peter's, and I'm also part of the finance team. And as he said earlier, I prepared the accounts for the last 2 years and put the audit plan together, and it is actually under my chair, so if you want to look at it, you can see it, because Michelle and I get very excited about it. Now, when Mark said, would I do this talk, he told me that this talk was at the beginning and nobody came to it. And then on Monday, he changed the agenda. Look at you all. Okay, so if we can have the first slide. I want to start by just giving an overview of some highlights, and then we'll go into the detail. And I want to start by saying a massive thank you. Can you believe it? This is the second largest income that we have ever seen in the history of the Warfield Church. 556,000 came in last year, which I think is absolutely staggering. Especially when you consider the economic climate that we're in. So that is amazing. Thank you very much indeed. Obviously, that income is made up of several sorts of income streams, and I just want to highlight a few of them. The first one is 264,000 comes in monthly giving, and that giving is really important to us because that comes in monthly. So what that means is it's available for us to pay our day-to-day expenses. The other thing that's really important about that is that we can gift aid it, which means that George Osborne gives us another handout of 68,000, which is fantastic. So thank you to all those people who give regularly. We're here. The reorder and gift aid brought in 83,000, so another amazing achievement. So those are a few bits of income. For me, one of the great things that happened was the appointment of Michelle. Last year. She was one day a week last year and she's 3 days a week this week, and I have to agree with Mark that actually really strengthens us from a financial point of view because she's on top of it. She knows what's happening, so we know what's happening. We've got much better management information coming in on a timely basis, and also she's really good at cost control. Because nobody dares spend anything there, David, without Michelle's say so. So that is really good news. And as Mark's already said, we gave 50,000 away to mission. So the way I want to do this evening, all the information is in the accounts, which is on the website. So for those of you with a financial background and want more detail, you can go and look at it. I'm going to just give high level. And so I want to look at the income for 2013. And I want us to start thinking about income from two pots, from an unrestricted pot and a restricted pot. And that's really important because it means that we can spend things in different ways. So the restricted income, as the name suggests, comes in for a particular purpose and we can only spend it for that purpose. So last year we had the gift aid, which we've said brought in 83,000, and that was specifically for the reordering, and that was what it was spent on. We also have some other income that is restricted, so it comes in for a particular purpose, and that's for other activities. So the types of things that we see under here are a grant from the Brownlow Trust, which goes towards funding our community worker, and that's what we pay it for. Oh, that's what we receive it for, and that's what we pay it for. Things like, you'd all have heard of Pocket Money Fights Poverty, the little boxes that we get at Lent. That money is restricted income, can only be spent for Pocket Money Fights Poverty. CBSI comes in and it goes out for CBSI. The trips, I think some of you is in Nepal and Kenya, that money is collected and goes to pay for those trips. So 43,000 of the other activities comes in, but it's already going out as it comes in. So that's unrestricted income. It's restricted, sorry. Restricted income. So the other part is the unrestricted income. And you can see that we've got three types of that. So the big number, 366, is what we all give on a monthly basis. And that's for the running of the church. And that's really important to us because that pays the bills. It keeps the lights on, pays these guys wages. It provides the tea and coffee. And it's flexible, which is the great news. So we can decide how to spend it. We make a budget and we try and spend it according to the budget. And I'll be coming to that in a bit more detail in a moment. And again, we've got other activities and rental income. So now what I want to do is go and have a little further look at unrestricted income. So if I can have the next slide. Okay, so this pie chart is just percentages. If you want to have a look at the absolute amounts, it's note 2 in the accounts, and you can go and have a look at that. But I think what you can see from this slide is that the monthly giving, the unrestricted monthly giving, plus the tax that on the gift aid is so important to us. Like over 75% of our income comes from that. Then we have free will giving that people give to us, and we have our weekly offerings, which again we can spend as we like. Now the other activities and the rental, they are unrestricted. However, I want you to think about other activities as the church almost being like a bank. So the money comes in and it goes out for a particular purpose. So the types of things that are in other activities are money for fees for third person came in, it paid the expenses for third person. Things like the New Year's Eve party came in, went out. The weekend away, I think All Saints and the Weekend Away comes in, it goes out. Types of things like that. Also for All Stars, their tuck shop and their fees for entrance comes in, and then David gets to spend it, if Michelle says yes. The last thing then is the rental. We are in the very privileged position of having two houses, and they've both been rented fully for 2013. So that rental income comes in. And as you probably know, we remortgage them in order to help pay for the reordering. So what we've done is we've set aside that rental income and it's earmarked for the interest on the mortgage and the repayments when they come. So on this slide, other activities and rental, they're already spoken for as they come in. So I just want to emphasise that the unrestricted monthly giving is critical to us for the day-to-day running. Just our household expenses as if you have any house. So, how do we spend our unrestricted money? Can you take the lid off for me? I'm not a very helpful assistant, am I? Very restricted, yeah. He's heard this talk a few times as well. Probably do it for me now. So, how do we spend our unrestricted money? Okay, so it's unrestricted, and again, this is percentages. If you want to look at the detail, note 7 of the accounts, you can go and have a look at that. So our best asset is our team, and over half our money goes to the salaries. And in there, we've included Mark and Janet's salary as well to get a full picture of how much we pay in staff costs. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, they're well worth it, aren't they? And then on top of that, well, some of them are. and on top of that, we then give to the Church of England. So we give a contribution to central costs. So we don't get anything from the diocese. It goes outward. So we are giving back to them. We've talked about mission. We give 10% of our unrestricted income to mission. Now, there's a time lag on that. So we give 10% of the previous year's income. That's how that's worked out. I've grouped together all the costs for Sunday, so running our Sunday service. So you can see it's actually quite a big percentage for a church. We would expect it to be a big percentage for the Sunday. And then we've started to add in the midweek activities. So the things like, I might have to read this now because I can't remember them all. The thousands of them, have a look in the accounts. The breakfast club, the marriage course, tiny in tots. All those sorts of midweek activities, and also the kids' work. So, is it called Relentless now? Yeah, Relentless, but it wasn't last year, was it? It was Zone last year. So Zone, All-Stars, they're the kids' works. Office expenses, you'd be amazed how much it costs to run a photocopier, actually. Governance, that's the exciting bit, that's the audit fee in there. And we've also, how small it was. And there's also bank charges for the loan repayments in there. Maintenance is depreciation for the chairs that you sat on, and repairs and renewals. Okay, so that's how we spend our unrestricted money. That's our unrestricted pot coming from our monthly giving. Okay, last slide for now. So we're moving on to our restricted pot, the money that comes in for a particular purpose. And I'm just focusing on the reordering, because that was the big thing that's happened in the last couple of years. So obviously the reordering was over a couple of years. So 2012, we started with a gift day, and a massive 76,000 came in. There were a few costs in 2012, architects' fees and all those sort of planning bits and bobs. But as we all know, last year was the big year. We had another gift day. Staggering amount of 83,000 came in, and a staggering amount went out, 321,000. But we saw, didn't we, the work that was done. And I just love this floor. You just love this floor. I just love it. Anyway, I digress. So what that meant was, and we always knew that the money coming in from ourselves would never cover all the costs. So what we did was we remortgaged the houses that we have in Horatio Avenue and Portia Grove. So we took out a mortgage of £250,000, and that covers the excess of the expenditure. Now, when you look in the accounts, you will see these unrestricted and restricted in different columns, and they go into something called reserves, which is basically adding up all the things that have gone on in the past. So in the restricted funds, there's a negative number, and I don't want you to worry unduly about that negative number, because basically what it's telling us is we needed to have a mortgage, we needed to take a loan out. So that negative number, I believe, is temporary, because what we will do is we can just sell a house and it will return back to a positive number. Okay, so that's what that means. And so as the Finance Committee, our first task is to review the options of how do we return those restricted funds to a positive number. So we've got a meeting in May, and then hopefully we'll have some proposals for the PCC in June, and then they can start to make the decisions on how we deal with that. So that's it for 2013. I'll be back later for 2014. Okay?
Brilliant. They should clap. Great job. Let's go to the next slide. That was the last 12 months. How do we move into our next 12 months? I want to take us back to Ezekiel. I'm going to take us back to chapter 37 and that valley of dry bones. I want you to see in this passage the interaction between the prophet and God. So the man of God and God. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me and he brought me out. Listen, not Ezekiel's doing. Ezekiel hasn't done anything. The hand of the Lord is on him, and the hand of the Lord brings him out. This is our reminder scripture. If the Lord is not with us, we're not going to go. So the hand of the Lord is on him, and he brings him out. And then the ball is hit into the man of God's court, and God says to him, what do you see? What do you see? God allows us to be part of the process. He expects us to give an honest and open evaluation of what we see. Now, can I just stress at this point that it is supposed to be an honest evaluation of what we see, not coloured by our personality types. And that's very difficult for lots of us. So some of us look at a 91 people increase and still will say cynical things about it. Some of us, like me, will look at 91 and tell people it was 9,000. So we are all wired in different ways. That's why we need each other. But an honest and open evaluation of where we're at. What do you see? God says to his prophet. He says, I see a valley of dry bones. He just says what he sees. And then God says to him, can they live? It's back in Ezekiel's court. Can they live? And this is the right answer. He says, God, only you know. See, back to God. God, this is yours. Only you know. The right answer. But then that final part. Good answer, Ezekiel. Now you prophesy to them and they will live. Ezekiel is required to do something. He's required to speak. And what I want us to ask, what I want us to address is what is God asking us to speak into in the next 12 months? The difficulty for us is that we have endless possibilities. There are hundreds of doors that are presenting themselves to us. God, which is the one that you want us to speak to because you're going to bring life? And so that's the question that we're asking. God, over the next 12 months, what are the things that we need to speak into so that they can live? So the staff team have been away and we've prayed and we've listened to prophetic words that have been sent to us and we've bounced it off each other. And in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom and we've gathered the elders together and we've said, help us with this. This is where we think we're going. And after it was battered around enough, we said, okay, over the next 12 months, these are the things that we're going to achieve.
Great.
Like Mark said, there were so many things that we could have shared about tonight, or I could share about the areas that I'm responsible for. But I wanted to bring some things to you that in the 10 minutes that I have just to share with you. Let's start with the first slide. First thing I want to tell you, if you just bring up the whole slide, that'd be great.
Great.
First thing I want to say is we've just been blown away by God's grace. Every single week we see 100 kids coming through these doors, mostly no connection with church at all. And it has been phenomenal to see what God has been doing. And the biggest encouragement for me, one of the biggest encouragements, has been to see the amount of people across the parish from different congregations coming together to make it happen. It has been phenomenal, but I don't want to look at what God has done, I want to look at what God is going to do this year. And so we're going to talk about the possibilities. Bring up. I believe that the all-stars and the kids that are coming, we are growing a church. We're building relationships with these kids and we're growing a church. We're not. We're seeing them coming through all the things we're doing. And I believe over this next year, one of the things we're targeting is our year 5 and 6s. We want to bring up the next one. And what we're trying to do is we're creating a year 5 and 6 youth cabin because we are really, really interested in transitions. And we don't want to see us losing all these young people coming through our doors as kids, but then wandering away as young people. So we're really targeting, and this next year we're going to really target even more the year 5 and 6s, next one. Over the next little while, the next few months, and in the next year, we're going to really, really try to use our young people in the program. You know, I've done kids' work for so long, right? I did it in my previous church. I've been involved in kids' work half my life. And I can stand up here and I can talk in front of the kids till I'm blue in the face, but I want to see young people getting up here, stuttering, stammering, really messing up, but trying their hardest. And so for the next 6 months to a year, we're going to try and release young people, getting our 15-year-olds, our 16-year-olds, our 14-year-olds up here telling stories, doing the games, doing all the fun stuff. So that's one of the things we're going to be doing. Next one. All-Star Sundays. So this is actually Jackie's idea. So we have an All-Stars core team, and one of the things that Jackie suggested was that we really build on the brand and we roll out All-Star Sundays. It's great to see all these kids coming on a Friday night and coming through these doors and seeing the mums and dads and start to build relationships. But what we want to be able to do is say, hey, guys, it's great to see you on Friday night. You've travelled up all the way from Whitegrove, or you've travelled up all the way from wherever you've travelled from. Do you know that we have a congregation meets there every Sunday? And so what we've done is we are in the process of changing all of our Sunday morning children's provision. It'll no longer be called Faith Factory, no longer be called eKids, no longer be called whatever it's called, but it will all be called All-Star Sunday across the parish. And every Sunday we want to build relationships with kids and with mums and dads that come and say, so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to roll out the parish-wide Sunday children's provision. Next one. From Friday's, that's next. Next one. Oh, next one. Oh. Yeah, hallelujah. For the next year, we're going to work on our slides. And take a computer course. Yeah, that was for me, not for the back. Sorry. I made these slides. Holiday clubs. The possibilities, like Mark said, is endless. And All-Stars on a Friday night is just the tip of the iceberg. We've just recently run a holiday club. We had 130 different children throughout the course of the 4 days here. And 51 of them had never been on a Friday night. And I want to tell you, on a Friday night, we get over 100 kids every Friday night. And we have had over 400 different children through these doors. Some come, don't like it, go away. Some come every second week, but we've had over 400 children through these doors. In a church in the middle of nowhere. On a Friday, mostly through winter when it's pitch black. We actually thought our numbers would increase when the weather got better, but actually it's been quite opposite. We've lost about 20 kids each week. But then we discovered as we investigated a bit further that it was cricket season, football season. So actually maybe winter's going to be better for us. But anyway, holiday clubs, we want to launch holiday clubs. Next one. Fun days. My heart is to really see happening where we bring mums, dads, kids, and we have a barbecue, we have a football day, we have whatever it might be, where we can bring people to this place, not just on a Friday, not just on a Sunday, but we can have a Saturday fun day where we bring in all the people who are coming. We've got so many people coming who have no connection with church and no idea what church is like, so we want to launch fun days. Teas and refreshments for parents. We notice that some parents who come on a Friday sit in the back corner at a table and work on their computer the whole time their kids are here. And so we're thinking, well, this is something maybe we can build upon, where we have a little area. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been setting up a little area, coffee area. And as we look at progressing over the next year, we'll look at serving teas and coffees to mums and dads as they come through the doors so they can just stay. Great, next one. As a result of that, would it be great when the kids come and do their fun session here, where we bring them all together, wouldn't it be great where we could have the youth cabin and we have a mum's discipleship group going on, or a dad's discipleship group going on? So that's one of the things we're looking into for that. Great. Right. Little stars. I want to tell you, that picture there, right, is the only publicity that we've used other than Insight, right? It's had over 8,000 views on Facebook, right? Thanks to Rupert's genius. That's even a word, right? But it's had £25 it cost us to promote it, right? We've had over 8,000 views, Now, this is a problem. A couple of the things I'm presenting tonight, they've happened this week. If only we could have stopped them for a week, right? So we could say we're going to do this next year. But anyway, right? We need to think this one through, right? So Little Stars is now headed up by Jackie and a great team. And on Monday, we launched our very first toddler group, our very first Little Stars. And we had between 55 to 60 children come through these doors, mostly unconnected with church. Phenomenal. And 55 to 60 children have got to bring 55 to 60 parents. And there was grannies as well that came. And so it was phenomenal to see all these toddlers come through these doors. So Little Stars is a thing that we're really going to use to build relationships. And that has been phenomenal. It was great. And we thank you, God, for making it happen and blessing us. Next one. All Stars Primary Schools team. So we already have excellent links with loads of schools in the parish. And so we minister to over 3,000 children every single month. We recently did an assembly with Janet in White Grove where we had all 400 plus kids come in to do an assembly. It was phenomenal. And so we want to build a team that will go out and will reach out to all our primary school kids and our secondary schools as well, doing assemblies and lessons. So that's really exciting for this year. Next one. I've got to tell you though, when you've got this sort of vision, then it takes more than just volunteers to make this happen. And I hope you're catching the vision, and I hope you're catching our heart. And some of the things I'm sharing is just some. I mean, there's home visits, there's so much more that we want to do over this next year. But in order to make this happen, we need people who will come and who will play a part and take on leadership. And so we, actually, this one we got right, okay? Yeah. Because, just, right? Tomorrow, our new children's pastor starts. I'm glad it was yesterday, right? And so Joe Foster will be starting tomorrow. She has a responsibility for All Stars on a Friday. She has a responsibility for All Stars schools. But I want to say this as well, right? I know this is another St. Michael's person taking on a role within Warfield Church. But I want to tell you that we've worked really hard to make this a non-congregational appointment. All Stars is parish-wide. All Stars Schools is parish-wide. And Joe has agreed to take on Faith Factory as a volunteer. So what she runs on a Sunday is not part of the hour. She will be doing that out of her own volunteer role. So that's fantastic as well. And we thank you for that, Joe. Yeah. Next one. Youth work. A couple of things I just want to touch on that. We're trying to build small groups because we believe that we need to build relationships with young people in small groups. There are currently three small groups because one started this week. Sarah, we could have done that one next week. It would have helped me as well. But anyway, so we've got Encounter already that's been going for a while. We've got Deeper that's been going for a while. We now have Rooted that started on Tuesday, kind of targeting or the people that came as kind of year 7, year 8. Then go to that, which was fantastic. That was just started. You've got year 7s, year 8s. Then please try and get them to that. But one of the things that's high on our agenda, the next home group that we start, a small group that we start, will be for the 20s to 30s.
Yeah, it's good, David. Thanks. You're welcome. I'll turn my microphone off now.
Yeah, thanks. Pay back. Yeah. So 20s to 30s is our next target. If you've got people... sons or daughters who are 20 to 30s, please watch this space because we wanted to start a 20 to 30s group. So that's high on our agenda. Next one, and I'll finish off, schools work. We really want to try and build the relationships. We want to bring up all the things. The Garth door is wide open for us. Matt wasn't supposed to be here, but the DBS took longer than what we thought was going to be. Matt was supposed to be this week away with 83 year 8s. With Garth to the Isle of Wight. So we've got great inroads into the schools and we want to build strong relationships with the local schools, and that's the things that we're targeting over this next year.
Thanks very much, David.
I was reflecting last Sunday that it was actually a year ago last Sunday that I actually came for interview here. Am I coming through?
Yeah.
That I actually came for interview here at Warfield. And it was exactly a year and 4 weeks ago that I discovered there was a place called Warfield on the planet. But just sitting there now and just hearing all that's going on and all that has been done this past year, and I just feel so thrilled to be part of a church that is so vibrant and alive and that really is looking to follow where God is leading. And it just really is a privilege. I'm here to talk about pastoral care and small groups. I've got to crack on because Mark's promised us all chocolate if we stay to our time limits. Hannah promised us chocolate. Okay, I've got to crack on. Pastoral care. As you know, that's one of the responsibilities that I have. As you can see, we have been putting structures into place this past year to cover pastoral care. I'd like to say at the outset that I believe in a church, most pastoral care will happen naturally through friendships, through small groups that people belong to. But we also want to put something in place for those that perhaps slip through those gaps. We want to have a safety net. I believe people who are hurting, people who are broken, are very precious to God. And because they're precious to God, they're precious to all of us as well. And we all have a responsibility to care. That's what a church does. It cares for people. And we want to see people healed and transformed by God's love, often shown through us. So as you can see there, we have pastoral care with three branches. I'm very grateful to Kay Robinson, who said it's like a three-legged stool. And I quite like that image, because a three-legged stool is a fairly sturdy structure. It's very difficult to topple a three-legged stool. So I'm going to stay with that image, and that's why it's the three-legged stool of pastoral care at Warfield Church. To look at one of the branches there, the legs, you see the visiting team. And this will operate very much as it has in the past. It will operate at a congregational level, and congregational pastoral carers will oversee that. Each congregation has someone who is nominated as a pastoral carer, and they have a team of people who are willing and available to offer the occasional one-off bit of practical help. So it may be somebody's been into hospital, just come out of hospital, needs a visit. It might be that somebody needs to be taken to a doctor's appointment, someone who can offer an hour to do that. Those one-off practical bits of help that really mean a lot to somebody who's struggling. We then have the prayer ministry team, and again, that will operate at congregational level as it has been happening. Every service here at Warfield Church, there is prayer ministry on offer, and that will be the first point of call for most people. If you come to church with a need, please, please do not leave without having somebody pray for you, minister to you in the power of the Spirit. We really encourage that, and that is available every single Sunday. Through congregational teams, but also I am really, really grateful to Sal Watley and Janine Simmons, who are coming aboard that team and are going to be helping offer training for people who would like to learn to minister in the power of the Spirit. And also they're tapping into resources, conferences, extra training that we can go away to do more in-depth study so that we can come back better equipped and to offer ministry to others. So that's at a congregational level, the prayer ministry team. And then the third leg of the stool is the pastoral prayer team. This is a new team that's come into being. One of the things I've discovered as I arrived at Warfield Church is what amazing resources there are across the congregation, what talents, what experience, and what gifts there are. And we've brought a team together from different congregations who will form that pastoral prayer team. And that team is to offer more in-depth support to those that need it. Anyone who feels that they would like to talk through an issue beyond a conversation at the back of church over coffee is very welcome to access that team. Chris Page has come on board as a key person, and I'm hugely grateful to Chris for doing that. She will see a person initially for a one-on-one consultation, And then she will allocate them to a couple of people who will meet with that person for 4 sessions. You may ask me, why 4 sessions? I don't know why 4 sessions, except that it works. If we offered 10 sessions, it may be that it's not till the 8th session that somebody starts opening up about what the real issue is. So we offer 4 sessions. We offer 4 sessions of 1 hour a week. And that person will be prayed for at the end of that session. We do all of this in the context of prayer. If at the end of those 4 sessions it's felt that the person would benefit from further professional help, then we can refer to agencies such as Connect, Counselling Agency, Relate, addiction centres. We can offer professional support and direct people in those areas. We are not a counselling service. We don't claim to be counsellors, but we do claim to be people who listen and who are listening to God for that person. So that's the 3 branches, the 3 legs of the pastoral care team. And moving on to small groups then. Moving on to pastoral care, our objectives. It's going to be to continue to strengthen the 3 teams, both numerically and spiritually. As people grow in their experience of serving on teams, then that will spread throughout the congregations. As we take people away for training days, as we bring in training in-house, then people, I believe, will grow spiritually and be able to pass that on to others. So those are some of the things that we're going to be doing. We'll also be providing termly supervision for the pastoral prayer ministry team. What we offer to people, we want to be the very best of care and the very best of good practice. And so there will be supervision for members of that team to make sure that we are on the right track there. So if we could have the small groups slide, please, Steve. Thank you. Small groups, the heartbeat of any healthy church. And I've just put up a number of the small groups that happen across Warfield Church, and it's by no means an exhaustive list. I know we also have Cameo for those with disabilities that meets. We have the Autumn Club. Small groups take all sorts of shapes and sizes. There's the traditional group where a group of people sit around in a lounge with Bibles open on their knees. But I believe small groups are any place where people are connecting with one another, where they feel there's a sense of belonging, where they can be challenged, and where we grow in grace. When I, with my rough edges, come up against somebody else with their rough edges, then both of us get those rough edges smoothed off a little bit. And that's what I believe happens when people come together in small groups. And we really want to encourage and build that ministry over the coming 12 months. Aiming to do that by, Steve, please, thank you. By both encouraging people to join small groups, to see the value of becoming part of a small group, but also by equipping leaders. And one of the things we've done recently is to set up a resource forum on the church website. If you've been using materials or you struggle to use materials with your small group, you will be able to go into the church website, see what other groups are doing, and use some of their ideas. And equally, if you've done something with your small group that's worked brilliantly, then do feed that in to Lynn in the church office and she will add that to the church website. We also need to resource those leaders by bringing them together and by ministering to them as they give out and minister to others. So that will also be part of the programme for this coming year. And finally, I don't know how small a group can be, but 2, I'm sure, can be a group. I remember when I was very, very early on in my Christian journey that someone said to me that there should always be somebody that you're learning from and always be someone that you're investing in as a Christian. And I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that. So one thing, again, that we'll be hoping to do over the next 12 months is to introduce a mentoring system where people can be investing in the lives of others and have people invest in their lives too. Thanks very much for listening. I hope I'm in time.
Of course you are.
Otherwise, Hannah won't get any chocolate.
Hannah's giving the chocolates, not getting the chocolate. You have no incentive. I saw some Easter eggs across the other side left over from All Stars that David bought because Michelle told him he could, so you can have that. That'll work out perfectly. Next slide. This whole thing is spiritual warfare, and it is incredibly intense at times. We mustn't forget that. Church, we have an enemy. So the devil doesn't like what we do. And so he comes and he whispers and he destroys relationship, and he causes us to fight amongst each other, because if we spend all our time fighting each other, we're not actually fighting him. Somebody said that the Church of Jesus Christ is often like paratroopers on holiday, and we turn inwards and start fighting each other rather than outwards and fighting the enemy. So we have to focus on the fact that we have an enemy. We need to pray, and we need to pray more. So great that we gather for Ignite on the third Thursday of every month. Great that we gather and do that. But we're going to launch another prayer meeting as well called Hungry. It's going to happen on Friday evenings from 10 o'clock until 11:30. You can still be at the kebab van by midnight. So an hour and a half of intensive prayer. It's going to be cased in a slightly different context. It'll have worship throughout. People can sit in the corner and just listen to God, or they can stand in the middle and scream at the top of their voice. Whatever they're doing is fine, as long as they're praying and connecting with Jesus. So we just want to launch that new thing, and we'll dive in with that in the autumn. We need to pray, and we need to pray more. You'll see in the vision book that we'll give you a little bit later on, all those areas we're already praying in. Paul Foster has a prayer meeting in his house every morning, really early. What time is early?
6:30.
I rest my case, really early. And that's happened there. There are other pockets of prayers which are taking place. We need to pray, and we need to pray more. We're launching another third person day on June the 21st. Barry Kissel, who used to be at St. Andrew's Chorley Wood, who's now at St. Mary's Braniston Square, is coming to talk to us about how to be a prophetic people. And the Bible's pretty clear. It says God does nothing until he reveals it first to his servants, the prophets. But Moses was pretty clear. I wish that all God's people were prophets. And so we all have the ability to hear from God. And so June the 21st will help us to refine that particular spiritual gift and skill that each of us have. So let me encourage you all to be there with us on June the 21st. So that's happening soon. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the chocolate queen herself, Hannah. Didn't get a round of applause or anything.
Okay, I was given 3 minutes, so buckle up, it's going to be fast. Okay, from the famous modern day philosopher Dr. Seuss, I was sent this a few weeks ago. And it is, today is your day, your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, so be sure when you step, step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act, and you will succeed. Yes, you will, indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kids, you're going to move mountains. And to me, the beauty of that is we believe in a God that not only enables us to climb mountains, but move mountains. And we at Borbrick, we are day by day taking small steps. We are praying hard, put our hands up, we don't really know what we're doing. We're just asking God to show us and give us that wisdom to lead well. But we have a heart to build a community. We have a heart to see community transformation. That it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. Whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you've got kids or not. But a place where you can come, where you can belong. A place where you can be loved and accepted as you are. But above all else, a place where you can come and explore your faith, your personal relationship with Jesus. Whether you're starting that journey or you're hundreds of years into that journey. And one of the ways that we think that we can do that, we love food. We like food a lot, don't we? But we want to create as many different opportunities for people to come together to build relationships. So this year, well, we've already started our breakfast club, which is our second breakfast club, which is in the junior school now. So we have one in the infants and now one in the juniors, which happens every week. We are planning on starting Messy Church, which will be a monthly thing, which again is just opening up to a new group of people that we don't have a huge amount of leadership. Thank you, David. But the really exciting thing, which to me is the mountain at the moment, which I am just praying for you, and I know that some of you guys that I've shared it with, that we are just crying out to God for, is we think that we would, I don't know, find out in a few years' time, not me. But we're hoping and believing that God is showing us that He wants to provide us with a cafe or a hub in Bulbrook, a place where we can meet, a place where we can provide food, a place where, I don't know, like David was saying, we can dream and we can dream big, like a care centre. I mean, it's endless. So at the moment, we are right at the very beginning. We're exploring that at the moment with the council. We're just praying it through. And then lastly, we also are looking into starting in the autumn a midweek communion service, which again, we want to provide as many opportunities and different flavours for people to come and explore their relationship with God. So the midweek service is going to be liturgical, is that the right? So it's going to be a different flavour to our Sunday mornings, because we want to be a community where everybody is going to feel welcomed and able to connect with God. And we're going to connect it onto Community Tea, which is our weekly coffee morning. And I'm really, really excited for that. And in fact, I can't wait to kick that one off, because I just think it's going to be really exciting. And that's me done. 3 minutes.
Right, I have 2 minutes, so start the clocks, because if I'm not on time, then you won't get your chocolates. This time, last year, obviously, I was up here, at St Andrews, being prayed for as we were actually thinking about the whole transition, the parish boundary change and that sort of thing, which, as Mark said, has now happened. And we've begun by moving to a single service in the morning. We're beginning to blend the two traditions of Warfield and St Andrews, and really exploring what that looks like and how that's going to be perfectly suited to priesthood. Rick Warren, he talks about surfers, and he says that a surfer doesn't kid themselves. What they do is they look for a wave, and they ride out to it, and then they ride that wave. They don't try and make that wave themselves. The whole thing is, we kid ourselves if we think we make those waves by having great programs or great ideas or whatever. It's God who is the one who's creating those waves. So what my job is at St Andrews is to look, and or everybody's job there is to look around and see what God is already doing, what He's already putting on people's hearts, and how He's actually moving already within priesthood. So I've begun to have conversations with people about all sorts of things, about putting on credit union, putting on debt counselling stuff, events for people who are lonely and just need somewhere to come. I've been about holiday film clubs and that sort of stuff that we can do there. There's been making it an accessible place for people who have some extra challenges. And then also things like putting in a soup kitchen and things. So we've got plenty of ideas that people have begun to already think give to us. Already, without any real effort, we've gained a pack of brownies, who not only are coming along every month, but now they said they want to actually use our building on a weekly basis. And that's fantastic. We've got great relationship with the pub across the road, which of course I'm very pleased about. But we've also got a community centre and a children's centre right next door. And I would challenge each and every one of you, at some point, preferably on a Sunday morning, but any time during the week, come down and stand in front of St Andrews. Spend 15 minutes there and count the number of people who just walk past. It won't be less than a dozen groups of people, I assure you. It doesn't matter. We are ideally suited to actually make a real impact in priesthood. So I'm really excited, you can probably tell that. There's so much going on, so much possibilities. Now we've got over the uncertainties. That the harvest is really plentiful. All we need to do now, pray for the workers and pray that actually we see this plentiful harvest come into St Andrews and into the Warfield family. Amen. So there you go.
Next slide then. So what we, next one. What we need to do is very shortly appoint a new, after the end of last week's episode, I thought he was available. But at the end of this week's episode, it looks like he's staying at St. Saviour's, which is a bit disappointing. For those of you who haven't got a clue what we're talking about, good. And so we are praying for a new associate minister. The adverts are out, the applications are coming in surprisingly quickly. Most, secret for you, most Church of England clergy, we apply in the last 24 hours. That's kind of what we do. But they're applying weeks early, and that's great, it's encouraging. So there's a lot of interest in this particular post to work in those areas of priesthood and Bulbrook. We're really excited about that. Let's move to the next one. Let's move us back into Warfield. You laughed when I showed you that barn picture. Last year, I said we could do something exciting up there. However, what happened over the course of the year, we said, let's extend our car park. We phoned the lady who owned it, who now lives in Aberdeen. We were going to get David to actually speak to her because he speaks that language. But that all went wrong when we discovered that she was Welsh. So... So I did the communication instead. We talked to her and she offered to sell us that field for £5,000. You can see that's the back end, immediately behind the blue area. She offered to sell us that for £5,000. We then said, you will have heard me say that if you attended at Nine Lessons and Carols, the cheeky vicar said, listen, we need extra car parking because you're parked everywhere. All we need is £5,000. If you brought your checkbook, we will happily receive the money this evening. You would have remembered that conversation. You all got thoroughly embarrassed by me. I saw that. The following morning, a knock on the vicarage door, a man with his checkbook. And he handed us £5,000. Yes. That was pretty cool. I don't think that's the biggest miracle here. I think the biggest miracle is the £5,000 that field has cost us. That field at the end of the lane that you've seen up for sale, that's £500,000 worth of field. It's not that much bigger than ours. So if it all goes wrong, I'm selling the field and leaving the country. The purchase of that field does is it opens up to us also that field behind the graveyard. The whole lot is suddenly accessible and the possibilities are therefore endless. So we'll pray into what God wants us to do across there. But let me show you how endless these possibilities are. Let's go to the next slide. And this is the Warfield redevelopment. And we suddenly discovered that with the help of the diocese, we could engage with this process rather well. So we got one of the diocesan officers to come and help us, and we met with the development officer for Bracknell Forest, and then we met from there and met with the education officer for Bracknell Forest, and we convinced them that their new primary school that's coming to Warfield should be a Church of England primary school. And they agreed to it there and then, round the table. And we then talked to the existing Church of England school, and we said maybe we could have the same set of governors and the same head teachers who govern two separate schools on two separate sites. And they said, well, is that possible? Well, we've been doing that as church for an awfully long time, so we know that it is. And so we have a brand new two-form entry primary school, a Church of England school, which means we have access to it, being built to three-form entry, which means the largest school hall that already exists in Warfield, and it's going to be a church school, and we made that happen. Endless possibilities. And that's before we seriously begin to engage with the other things which are open to us as a result of this. Listen, 7,000 people move into Warfield in the next decade. We have such a great opportunity, but we stand at such a pivotal moment, and we need to engage with the processes. And it's really good at this, you know. You find yourself a counsellor, you sit down and you persuade them to do what you want. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we're having meetings with Bracknell Forest Development, we're meeting with the local council, we're meeting with the parish council, and we're just seeing the endless possibilities that God is presenting to us right here. We are at a really, really exciting time. Our word from God at the start of this year was this. Enlarge the site of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. God, where are we going this year? That's the word. Stretch and don't hold back. This is what the next 12 months holds for us. You see, if we don't take opportunity of that development right now, we'll miss an opportunity. And it'll only come around once every century. And there'll be some things built in the middle of this development that if we're not involved in, it won't be as we want. But we'll have no right to complain if we don't roll up our sleeves and get on with it. So you and I have a glorious opportunity to shape the future of an area. So a parish which will have 35,000 people in it and 5 primary schools within the next decade. How exciting is that? Please look excited. That is really exciting. Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate the smiley face. It's very nice. And we have to do it because we are at capacity. But they used to tell us that when your church reached 80% capacity, it wouldn't grow any further. Well, it would appear that the average congregation has got a little bit more picky recently. And sociologists are telling us that now when we reach 70% of capacity, we can't grow beyond that point. Somebody pointed out to me something recently, which is obvious, but I'd completely missed, that the only people who love packed churches are preachers. Everybody else feels claustrophobic and wants to know why they have to queue for the coffee and why they can't sit where they want to and why there's no leg room. 70% is the number, ladies and gentlemen. And we are at 70% already in many of our congregations. Bulbrook is approaching that number very, very quickly. Not there yet. So what does that mean? It means it's our congregation that is growing radically at the moment. All Saints has already hit 70%. What do we do with that? In the next 6 months, St. Peter's will hit the 70%. St. Michael's 11 o'clock service has passed its 70%. And let me just put it in perspective for you. If you pass 70% in any of your areas, so if your children's ministry passes the 70%, you've hit your ceiling. If your youth ministry does it, you've hit your ceiling. So we've got to work out, how do we create room for God to move? How do we give him an opportunity? 7,000 more people. And we are at the point where in the majority of our congregations, we're past the 70%. God, what do you want to do? God, what do you want to do? Oh, we know what God wants us to do. He wants us to stretch forth our tent and not hold back. And that's what we're going to do over the next 12 months together, if you're willing and you're ready to roll up your sleeves and make it happen. For that to happen, Joey needs to talk to us a bit more.
I'm glad I wanted that slide because I have to put the glasses on. Sorry, getting all these bifocals on the glasses. In preparing for this evening, I've been thinking about this and thinking about mine and John's journey with Warfield Church. 25 years ago, we moved to Bracknell. We were newlyweds and we bought a house in Dashwood Close, which is just opposite the Boot. And 25 years ago, none of that was there. And 25 years ago, God had a plan to build his kingdom, to extend his kingdom into the fields that lay from Dashwood Close onwards, and a few of you are nodding. And God gave that plan to Brian Maiden, and he gave Brian a vision. Do you remember? Who was there? Because I'm sure some of you were there. Well, you weren't there, John, because we weren't there yet. That's the whole point. And those people that put their hand up, they stood up. They rolled their sleeves up, like Mark just said. John and I didn't know God. We didn't think about God. We were just married and we got on with it. 5 years later, God got our attention. 5 years later, I was 18 weeks pregnant and my mum died. 3 weeks before that, John's dad had died. The day after his dad died, his godfather died. There we were. It wasn't a good time. And God got our attention. And what we did, and I don't know why we did it, we came to this church. It was a Sunday in December 1993. We were desperate. And it was very dark. And as we pulled up, the car park was full. And I said to John, we're not talking to anybody and we're sitting at the back. And we walked in
couldn't get at the back because the place was full, and I sat just about where that middle, whatever it is, pillar is. And I couldn't get away with not talking to anybody because the lovely Bob Nichols, didn't we love Bob Nichols?
Yes.
Stood there and guarding so I couldn't get out. And he asked John and I about ourselves. And we told him a little bit. And he said, there's a church going to be planted in the new primary school. I worked in Reading. We have no family around here. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything about babies. And I needed some help. So I went along 20 years ago on the first day of All Saints. And I liked what I heard. And the lovely Margaret Nichols invited me to an Alpha course in the parish rooms. And I became a Christian in the parish rooms. And then I went to Sunbeams and I met my lovely friend Jackie, who became our best friends. And we've had 20 years of fun because of people stepping up for God. And Jackie, it was amazing on Monday. Jackie started Little Stars. It was so emotional for me because we met at Sunbeams 18 years ago. How cool is that? And so God still has plans for the fields. And he's given Mark a vision. And Mark's giving us the invitation to roll up our sleeves and be part of it. And this is where the accountant in me kicks in. Can I have a slide? It always comes back to numbers and money, doesn't it? Next one. Okay, so do you remember I talked about, I want us to think about income as unrestricted and restricted. Two parts, yeah? And we said that we've had the second biggest income we've ever had. We don't need more than we had last year. We just need to shift it from restricted to unrestricted. That's what we need to do to make this vision happen. And £80,000 is what we need. Now that sounds like quite a big number, but we've seen there's quite a lot of us on that electoral roll, about 560 people. And so what I've worked out, that actually if all of us give up five coffees a week, not a week, a month. It's only five coffees a month, not a week. I don't actually drink coffee, so. but it's only a couple of glasses of wine, so. But I thought, this is a church. That's all it'll take to get that 80 grand, to shift it from restricted to unrestricted, to see that vision happen. Isn't that exciting? I think it is so exciting. When I look back and see what God has done in my life, in 20 years' time, there might be somebody else stood, well, there will be, because it won't be me, stood it with the next one. and so, you know, the recession is still on. Money is still tight. So some people will be able to increase their standing orders, some won't. So what I'm suggesting is that if you can, think about it, pray about it, ask God, what does he want you to give? I'm suggesting £20 a month, gift-aided, of course, and George Osborne gets to play as well. Think about how much you can contribute financially. Michelle has got some forms at the back, so we can help you with that. I know that sometimes it can be awkward setting up standing orders, so we've got the details, and Michelle's happy to do that. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. Is that okay?
Just want you to know that it's money well invested. So listen, let's go to that next slide. And I'll read it for you for those who can't see. So in the last 12 months, we've proclaimed Jesus at over 400 Sunday services. Over 1,000 primary school children came to Christingle in this building. We baptised 9 adults, 20 babies. Over 100 children came to All Stars Children's Club every week. Our choir sang Christmas carols at the Admiral Cunningham pub and many came to listen. 91 people became members of the Warfield Church. We spoke to over 3,000 young people every month in their schools. We preached Jesus and saw people set free. The lonely became part of God's family. Broken hearts were healed and spirits restored. Those with addictions were set free. And the kingdom of God advanced. So I promise you, you have one of the best staff teams in the Jolly Nation. They are our worth investment. We don't have a lazy person amongst them. In fact, several of them have given up sleeping. Seems to be the only way to make it all fit. Because it's important. And so we'll do what we can do to see the kingdom of God come. Now, all those words, you'll receive all those words in our vision booklet as you go out this evening in a little pack. If you do need some information on increasing that standing order thing, Michelle's over there by that table. She'll help you to do that. We need to make this thing work. We need to make this thing work. And we can. And the word to us is stretch. Don't hold back. So if in a future year, God says, hold, we'll hold. But in the next 12 months, the word of the Lord to us is stretch, don't hold back. So we're going to do that. And we're just going to trust God to do what he does. Richard, you need to be up there as fast as you possibly can. PCC, you need to meet with us at the end of this service. We're going to sing one song. But we're really going to sing one song. And then I'm going to pray. We're going to take our packs and we're going to go see Michelle and we're going to go home and we're going to think, wow, I did it. Let's stand.
Thank you.